Welcome to Grace Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Thank you for joining us on Sunday evening, January the 30th, 2011.
Well, good evening. It's great to have you with us tonight. Hope you've had a good afternoon and looking forward to our service tonight. We have a baptism in just a few minutes, so anxious for that. Let me remind you of a few things as we begin tonight. Wana and the Crossroads and youth and choir and all that, just keep going as usual this Wednesday night. And if you're not involved in one of those and you're interested in it, please call the church office or see one of the staff. We'll be glad to try to get you hooked up with somebody that knows a little bit more about the Bible studies or whatever you want to be involved in. We'd love to try to help you out. Just to remind parents that the career class is sponsoring Parents Night out on Friday the 11th. If you're interested in that, it's from 6 to 9, and it includes dinner for your children, so it gives you a chance to get out for a little while. They're interested in some people helping if you would want to be a part of that, 16 years old and up. And if you need some information, see Rebecca Phillips. We mentioned some opportunities this morning to serve or to minister. Bethel Bible Village party on the 12th. That's a Saturday. I know some of our young people are going down and they're hosting a party for the kids there, a Valentine's party. Let's see, it's from 1 to 2 on February the 12th. They're also having a campus work day that day that they're trying to get some folks to help with. Just to draw your attention to a couple of the brochures, our inserts. Mark Mowry mentioned the green insert this morning with some short-term missions trips. And then Jonathan Brown mentioned the secret church opportunity, if you're interested in that, February the 6th and the 27th. And they do need you to sign up for this so they'll know exactly how to plan and be able to tell you where they're meeting and so forth. So a lot of opportunities. Hope you'll take advantage of those. Lord bless you.
Thank you, Fred. I think we have heard no more about Jack Brown's situation, but the brother of Melinda Ryan, and he's in Emory Hospital, and I think it's a pretty difficult situation. So we're praying particularly for him. And so let's begin with prayer. Father, we do pray for the Ryans as they minister to family, and we know that that Jack doesn't know you, Father. And we pray that that he will be receptive to the gospel and will respond to you. We thank you for the way you love us and the way you care for us. And Father, so many answers to prayer, so many opportunities that's set in front of us. Help us to seize those opportunities for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
We have the great privilege tonight to be witnesses of the baptism of Joya Shenefield. Joy has made it very clear to me that she wants to spend as little amount of time in the water as possible, and that all of my questions need to be formed in such a way that the response is yes or no. So before she comes down, I wanted to share with you a story that she didn't know until a couple minutes ago, and I don't know if her mother knows this yet or not, but this is a cool way this worked out. Her mother came to me. I met her in here. She was practicing for bells, and she said, "You know, I'd like for you to speak to Joya about being baptized." She said, "I just have this desire for my daughter to be baptized." And so I said, "I'd do that." Well, a few days later, I saw Joya, and she was getting ready to head off to work in the morning. And I said, "Hey, you know, the Lord's been doing some great things through missions trips and stuff in your life. What do you think's the next step spiritually for you?" And she said, "Well, funny you should ask that question." She said, "I got to go, but I'll talk to you about it later." Well, she comes to me on her break, and she says, "You know, it was so crazy that you asked that. The Lord's been putting on my heart about baptism." And I said, "Well, Lord, you made that pretty easy for me." But what a testimony to, I know her mother and father were praying about that for their daughter as a teenager and wanted that for her. And the Holy Spirit working in Joya's life at that exact time through that prayer to move her to the point that she came to me asking to be baptized. So, Joya. Joya, You have accepted Christ as your personal Savior, correct?
Yes.
At the age of 9, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And you've seen the Lord do incredible things in your life since that time. Missions trips and through youth ministry and so many different things. Correct? Yes. Okay. And is your desire to obey Him through this following in baptism, correct? Joy, upon your profession of faith and your desire to be obedient to the Lord through baptism, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Wow, it's always a joy to see folks follow the Lord in baptism, isn't it? Well, I'm going to ask you to stand with me. We're going to sing a couple of songs. The ladies' ensemble is going to come in a minute and sing for us. Let's begin tonight with Redeemed, How I Love to Proclaim It, Redeemed by the Blood of the Lamb. Sing with me.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed through His infinite mercy, His child, and forever I am.
Thank you. You may be seated, and ladies' ensemble is going to come and sing for us.
Let them move.
them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart and is thine own. It shall be thy royal throne.
Thank you very much. We'll ask the men to come at this time. Andy, will you pray for the offering, please?
Angie and Mandy, appreciate that. Be thou my vision. Just a few more courses tonight before Pastor comes. I haven't sung this one in a while. I will delight in the law of the Lord, and I will meditate day and night. Great, great chorus. Sing with me.
I will delight in the law of the Lord. I will meditate day and night.
Sole desire of my heart.
Thank you, Fred. Okay. Put your seatbelts on. We're going to run like a dog tonight. Father, for this day, we thank you, and I pray that you will indeed use your word to draw us a little closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. We looked at this passage this morning, and the basic concept on how we respond, and just to casually review. I don't really want to go into it with any large depth or anything, but I just wanted to remind you that when the Scripture talks about rich, I know we look around and we say, yeah, that person's rich. That person owns a home. He's got a car. He's this and that, you know. And we identify people and we say, you know, wait a minute, Lord. I'm on a fixed income. Maybe I'm retired. I'm a college student. I'm not the well-heeled person that the Scripture's talking about. But you understand that anyone here tonight is better off financially, just financially now, than probably 80% of the rest of the world. 80% of the rest of the world. I'm a college student. All I'm getting is my crazy loans and this and that and everything. I'm telling you. And, you know, when you sit down and you realize that 40% of the world is living on about $2 a day. I mean, what could you do with $2 at Starbucks? Right? I mean, if we couldn't have Starbucks, we'd go nuts, right? Caffeine would just drive us into, I'm being facetious now, okay? Understand. But what I'm trying to get you to see is we're the ones. So the critical question is what we are doing. Now, this evening, I wanted to kind of focus on the end of this passage and everything. But you, O man of God, flee these things. And he was talking about the behavioral attitude of really holding our stuff close to us. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Okay, I look at those spiritual qualities and I have a way of thinking, okay, I'm pursuing righteousness, probably not the imputed righteousness. I think that's assumed in the passage. This is probably moral righteousness, doing right, doing good things and everything. And so godliness, we probably understand godliness, making godly choices, that kind of thing. Faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Those are all tremendous, tremendous qualities. But then if the passage had just finished right there, you cut it off at the pass right there, and it hadn't gone on and said anything else, and you didn't get verses 17 through 19, you would be really, I mean, he says some things here that, you know, I just don't want us to miss, all right? Command those who are rich in this age not to be haughty. New King James now, not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches. And we talked a little bit about that this morning, because the way the economy goes and the way different kinds of things happen and everything, we understand that you can lose it all comparatively easily. He says, it's interesting, he says, he gives us richly all things. I don't often look at the fact that my car, my house, the possessions that I have, the clothes that I wear, the things that I have, that is all stuff that God has given to me to richly enjoy. Okay, he's not saying that I've got to go out and make a suit out of potato sacks or something like that. You all know what a potato sack is, right? Okay, stick with me now. So he says he gives us these things. We can have these things, but then at the end of that passage, there is a frightening statement here. Let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share. And look at down here, that they may lay, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come. In other words, while it is true that I cannot take it with me, I can't send it ahead. Difference, right? Big difference. I can't take it with me, but I can send it ahead. And how do I send it ahead? Well, there's where the passage just kind of lays it out for us. It says, be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up the good foundation for the life to come. Okay, so I'm actively doing good works. I'm actively doing things that are going to be an encouragement to people, going to be a help to people, seeing needs, seeing opportunities, responding to these things. This is great theology. I mean, this is stuff that we don't often think about. I would say in the 30-some years that I've been here, I've probably not spoken on this kind of stuff more than you could probably count them on two hands. I'm more comfortable in, you know, the book of Hebrews. I love the book of Hebrews. Romans, that kind of thing. Habakkuk, that kind of thing. But this is really where we live. So what in the world does it mean? Glad you ask. But before I do that, I want to just go back to Paul Brand one more time. Remember, I read these great quotes about how America is rich in Christian servants, vocational Christian servants, and the fact that we're amongst the most affluent in the world. But he made a comment at the end that I meant to read this morning that I didn't do. That's the good thing about a Sunday night service. You get to finish up what you mess up in the morning, or at least you get to try and finish it up. And so he says, I read you that quote that says, I wonder how the villagers in the crowded plain, a third of those people suffering from malnutrition, feel about the folks on the hill. You remember the context of that statement. You divided the world into 1,000 people. They lived in a city. The one people lived up in the palatial areas, about 120 of them, all of the rest, 820. And that's pretty much the breakdown, you know, from that standpoint. So then he says this, Paul Brand said this. He says, I realize these issues have complex economic and cultural factors behind them. But I am impressed with how decisively the early church responded to pressing needs. There's a book that when we went through the Truth Project, the guy made an allusion to it, and I went ahead and purchased it, and I think I've loaned it to somebody. If you've got it, you need to bring it back, because I was looking for it today. Someone said it's on your desk, you just can't find it. And if I could see the bottom of my desk, then I would be able to repute that statement. But at any rate, it talked about what the first century, the first three, four centuries of Christian churches, what they did to involve themselves in the lives of people, and the fact that they rescued babies, that they cared for people with the plague. They did all kinds of things, and the good works that they did. And so it says, how decisively the early church responded to the pressing needs. The Apostle Paul took months out of his schedule. I never thought of it that way. He took months out of his schedule just to collect money from Greek Christians to aid impoverished Jewish Christians in Jerusalem. You remember all that context in the middle of Acts there. Okay, we need to pause and look carefully at ourselves. God needs, and this was all in the context of cells in the body, cells that were out of proportion and cells that weren't doing what they needed to do. He says, God needs all types of cells in his body, and I am not getting personal with this statement as I quote this. I'm reading it just as it is. Fat and thin, rich and poor, simple and complex, but he only needs loyal cells. And in the area of using resources, Jesus, our head, had many unsettling things to save. God save us from being a cancer within his body, the body of Christ. That's a pretty powerful statement, isn't it? Paul Brand. I just wanted to not let that get away. So what do we do? Who in the world is my neighbor? How am I going to respond to people and their needs? I got a couple of suggestions, okay? And we're going to We're going to make this super-duper practical here in a minute because I'm going to allow some of you to talk about things that you have done. I've got a couple of stories to tell, where I haven't done so well, and I want you to pray with me that I'll do better. But I want you to see, you know, how in the world, what does God want me to do? I mean, what does He want me to do now with this truth? How in the world am I going to respond to this truth? And what I suggest to you, first of all, is God wants us to become intentional. So what do I mean by becoming intentional? I mean you open up the baby blues, all right? Open up the baby blues, or browns, or turquoise, or purple polka dot, whatever your color your eyes are. And with contact lenses, you can't tell. What kinds of needs are around? You see, as we look at this, we think about maybe making somebody's house payment or maybe taking somebody clothes or doing this or doing that. We've got all kinds of high-profile things that we think about, but I'm convinced that God wants us to impact our world. And so what does it mean with the people that you rub shoulders with on an everyday basis? How can I practically implement this scripture in my life on a regular basis? What kinds of things can I do? Where can I go? Become intentional. I think what that means is I think you got to pray and you got to say, Lord, I want to help somebody. I want to do good works this week. I want to help somebody. I don't know if that's financial. I don't know if that's just giving of your time. I don't know if it means taking them something or taking them someplace. I don't know if whatever that means. I don't have a clue how you fill in, how the blank is going to get filled in. But what I am suggesting to you is that God's going to give us together opportunities this week to be able to talk to somebody and to help somebody. And so the question all boils down to, am I going to be so caught up with my agenda and so caught up with my schedule and so caught up with the things I'm doing that I'm going to miss the opportunity that God's going to drag across my path? Okay? Observation. Illustration. So yesterday, I meet with some guys for a power lunch at Armando's, and by the way, you can't buy much for $2 at Armando's either, I might add. And we were sitting there, and there was three of us there, and we were talking about any of a variety of things. Frequently, we get into really inane discussions. That's generally when we talk about anything associated with Iowa basketball or football. That usually is an inane discussion. But we were talking, and an older lady, looked like she was about my age, came up and stopped at our table. Now, here we are, three pretty healthy men, okay? And so it's me, and it's Dan Diltz, and it's Steve Ryan. We're all healthy. And she starts talking to us just out of the blue. She's carrying her food out, and she just starts talking to us. Now, I'd like to tell you, I handled that just the best way I possibly could. I mean, it wasn't that I was, you know, not cordial. I mean, I was cordial, but, you know, after you say one or two pleasantries and everything, I didn't see this as an opportunity, okay? I mean, she was an interruption in my conversation. What I was going to talk about, I felt like that was the meat of the thing. This was a diversion. But the other guys didn't necessarily see it that way, and they engaged this gal in conversation. We found out that she was, her husband had been operated on. They didn't go to church much anymore. He was at home pretty much in the house. She snuck out to get something at Armando's and everything. And, and Dan and Steve began to really engage this gal, invite her to church, and just a variety of different kinds of things. Now, As the Holy Spirit was working in my heart about this, I've got to tell you, I was not very intentional at all, okay? I didn't do as well as I should from that standpoint. But my point is, that's the way opportunities come across our life, right? And so I've got to be open and I've got to see. Now, the only way I'm going to see those things is if I pray ahead of time and I say, Lord, I'd like to do something good this day for you and for your kingdom. I'd like to have the opportunity to witness. I'd like to have the opportunity to help somebody. Lord, what is it that... Help me to be alert to see those kinds of things. Okay? Intentional. And the second element that I'd like to point out is you've got to be prepared. So what in the world does that mean? Well, it means a variety of things. For one, I think it means that you may not be able to solve a situation just like that at a particular time, but it'd be good to have a pen and a piece of paper with you so you could at least write down a name and address to be able to pursue it. Maybe you can't pursue it, but you can identify somebody else that would be good to pursue. It might be that just to have a track, just to have something that you're able to share in that context. So, you know, there's an opportunity there to be able to identify it. And maybe you can't solve that problem right there. But it may well be that with collectively here, we can find somebody that can help bring that situation to a solution. And then number three, investigate your options. What kind of options do we have? What kind of things could we talk about and could we look at? Okay? I had this discussion in the staff meeting, and we were talking about that, and we were saying, well, what in the world could we do, and where could we go? And people said, well, we know about this, and this, and this, and this, and this. And at that point in time, as we were talking about it, people began looking around. One of the college people said, do you know what? Silverdale puts up a 25-page directory of Chattanooga area ministry opportunities with a complete description and discussion of this stuff. And I said, well, we don't need to invent the wheel again, do we? So they willingly shared that with us. But what kind of options are there in this area? And so I just thought, you know, and some of these, we have people here that do those things. Choices Pregnancy Center, and, you know, Pat Lindley came through and she told us about volunteer operations and the different sorts of things that are available there. Receptionist, you know, food, clothing, baby clothes, diapers, you know, preferably not used, you know, that kind of thing. All sorts of options and everything available. Bethany Christian Services. And they're looking for different kinds of people that can help and be involved in that. Chambliss Children's Home, Chattanooga Area Food Bank, Chattanooga Endeavors, the Chattanooga Rescue Mission. I think that, where's my microphone over here? Ah, Scott, give that microphone to May Lou, because she wants to talk and tell us about the Chattanooga Rescue Mission. It's as good that you volunteered this way, May Lou.
Well, I do have a quote for you, Pastor. Oh, show me a need, pray this. Show me a need, give me an idea. And somebody gave me that years ago, but isn't that good? Well, we have a family member at Christmas that didn't want a present. So Brent and I said, well, we're not going to not give you a present. So we gave a gift to the Chattanooga Rescue Mission in this person's name. And then the Lord started working on our hearts through the messages. And I had all these wonderful sweaters that I wore when I was a Yankee that my son had given me. Brant had coats from England. We had things that were just lovely. And we found out there are 100 ladies and children that come nightly, homeless people, to the Chattanooga Rescue Mission.
How many now?
They told us 100. They try to house 100 people a night.
I didn't know that.
and lovely facility. So we met the director. We went down, met the director, and they give tours. But that is, now they only take clothing. They don't take household things. But I mean, when you think about 100 people that are on our streets who need a place to sleep. So I've been praying for the ladies that might be getting my clothes and all, that God would bring them to himself. So it's really helped us too. Thank you.
Okay, good. Scott will come get it here. Chattanooga Rescue Mission, and so we mentioned Christian Endeavors. The Community Kitchen, First Things First, Habitat for Humanity, Hope for the Inner City. I think that's a little bit associated with some of this stuff we heard from Clint. I think they've had some contact with some of that and everything. The Hope Line, we've heard a lot about the Hope Line here, have we not? Different opportunities that way. On Point, Prison and Prevention Ministries, Reach One. I think Amy Smith went to the Ronald McDonald House and goes once a month to go down there and spend a day helping and working there. Room in the End, Teen Challenge. We have folks here at the church that are associated with Teen Challenge in that ministry. The Tennessee Baptist Children's Home, we've had a lot of contact with them through the years. Volunteers in Medicine, Widow's Harvest, YCAP, Union Gospel Mission, and I think the list could go on. I frequently will go into Erlanger Hospital, and if you're there on Wednesdays, you will see Mrs. Price, Doris, you know, doing the volunteer and answering questions and stuff like that. And Andy works at Memorial, and you're there Mondays and then some other times and everything. And, you know, as a volunteer. And, you know, you stop and think about it. They're in a critical place. You have all different kinds of needs that people have. And all you're trying to do is just be friendly and to give direction and to be open to the Lord in those kinds of things and everything. I tell you what. If God's given you an opportunity in something like that, would you just tell us about it briefly tonight, sort of like Mei Lu and some of these others have done? Okay.
This happened many years ago, but it just came to my mind tonight. We had a motel in Spartanburg, South Carolina, and I was helping out the front desk, and I saw this lady come 2 or 3 days, and she had a child in, it was a special wheelchair that he had cerebral palsy. He was, I think, 5 years old at the time. He could do nothing for himself. She still diapered him, fed him. She was a very frail young lady, and about the second or third day, I thought, you know, she looks like she needs a friend. So I asked the other girl to take care of the desk while I talked with her, took her to lunch there, and she and her husband were just moving from Illinois or somewhere. She had no friends, didn't know anybody there. And so I befriended her. We became very good friends, and one day, or the Wilds was having a ladies' retreat, and I said, Marty, I said, could you go to the retreat with me? And she said, well, Joe, her husband, had never taken care of Chris for longer than just a few hours. And I said, well, let's pray about it. And we prayed about it, and she called me one day. She was so excited. She said, Joe said he would take care. This was an overnight thing. And he did. And probably a few months later, she told me something I don't think I'll ever forget. She said, Carlene, she said, do you remember that day that you befriended me? And I said, yeah. She said, I woke up that morning. She said, I just didn't think I could go on one more day. And she just needed a friend. And I thought, you know, when the Lord puts it in your heart to talk to somebody, do it. Don't let it go, because she really needed it, and she became a very good friend.
Okay. Anyone else? All right, back here.
I just wanted to give a little update about Hopeline, and I know sometimes we're back in the back with the youth on Sunday night, so I don't know what's been shared up here recently. And I know there's so many from Grace that have been able to come out and visit, and people that have gotten involved volunteering. And so if any of you have ever thought about coming, I know I've really talked to a lot of you about it, and I know that many of you work early mornings during the week, so Sunday night can be kind of late, but that's the best evening just to visit, but that doesn't mean that you'd always have to volunteer on a Sunday night, because they are open during the day, they're open during the evenings, and so they're open 24/5 right now. Their goal is 24/7, but over the last few years, they've been able to staff during the day and stuff, and so that's been neat. But God's doing some really awesome, exciting things. The neatest thing is they're on the verge of a cutting-edge opportunity that's coming up probably within this month. They're going to be doing this new thing where we'll be actually chatting with people internationally. And so they're trying to make connections with people, resources that they can use in other countries to go ahead, for, you know, to have as follow-up for people who call in. But it won't be on the phones where you're having a conversation with them, because we wouldn't know those languages. But we will be chatting with them online. And so if they speak another language, we'll be able to read it in English. And when we type it in English, they'll read it in their own language. So that is just really cool. And even the computer guys that are working through this are saying that it's just sort of cutting edge technology. And so just keep praying about that. I know you all were praying 2 years ago when I heard an ad on the radio and wanted to go. And it's just so exciting because there's so many families. There's even people that are working there now full-time from this church. So if you have any questions, I noticed in the bulletin, Laura Welsh has her name in there. And she's working as one of the team leads. She has a lot of information. So you can see her or our family. I know Gypsy's family goes. Aaron Arnold works there. Kyle Vaught from the college works there. And so many college students have visited, not really maybe even gotten on the phones for a conversation, but they've been praying for us. They come and they pray. And there's a praise and worship service every Sunday night that we have there from 9 until 10, right before the phone lines open. So we'd love to have any of you come with us if you'd ever want to visit.
Okay. Someone else? Okay, Fred.
This weekend, I was in a missions retreat down in South Alabama. Got a chance to speak to about 60 young people. I knew I was going to speak on prejudice, and I was going to use Luke 10, actually. And early in the week, when I was really having a lot of problems with my cancer treatment and stuff, I was praying that the Lord would show me for sure if I could teach this lesson. I just wanted to make sure that I would help people no matter who they were or what they were. And 2 days in a row, right on my way home from the doctor's on Tuesday, a car stopped right in front of me, dead in the water, Jenkins and Standard for Gap, which you know how busy that is at about 5 o'clock. And nobody would stop. I was behind. I had to go around the car because of the traffic pushing me. And I saw that it was a young man, happened to be black, and his car was dead. So I turned around and went back and got behind him and put my blinkers on. And when I jumped out and ran up to help him, I think he thought I was going to run up and yell to him. And I just said, "Hey, buddy, let's get your car pushed out of the way so you don't get killed here." And while we did that, I mean, it was just really dangerous. A couple cars almost crashed right in front of us. And I had stuck a tract in my pocket when I ran up there. And his friend that he'd called showed up just as I was pushing his car over onto the curb. And he came running up, and they looked surprised. Both of them looked surprised that I was helping them. Either that or they were scared of my face. I'm not sure which. But then the next morning, after my heart class, same thing at Dodds and Willow, somewhere real busy, three young black ladies just young, like 15, 16, 18 years old, stuck in a car right in the middle of the intersection, and nobody would stop to help them. I pulled around them, got up on the curb, and ran back. And same thing. It blew their mind, I think. But it blessed my heart that God gave me two opportunities just to make sure that when I stood and talked to those kids about it, that that I was willing to be what I was telling them that we need to be. But sometimes I think we just need to keep practice, because we can be compassionate one day and the next day blow people off.
Sure. I think probably what we need to do is put your phone number in the bulletin anytime anyone has a stalled vehicle. Fred has a ministry with stalled vehicles. Thanks, Fred.
Mr. Bennett reminded me of something that happened this week on the paper route. I was getting off East Brainerd, I-75 exit, kind of going towards Gun Barrel Road there, and stopped to, well, I saw a little tiny Honda Civic in the median with his flashers on, and the guy was out and just, you know, kind of standing there. So I thought, well, I'll deliver my papers just so that, you know, if it takes forever, then at least the gas station will have its papers. And then parked my car at the gas station, and he was already walking to the gas station to try and get some help. Apparently he had asked some guy to help him there that was sitting in the parking lot, and the guy was not very friendly to him. And then, you know, I walked up to him and said, hey, you need some help? And he said, yeah, sure, that'd be awesome. So his friend was already back in the car. The transmission went out, and so we were able to push his car up the hill, and there was no traffic. It was about 5:30, so that was a blessing, because that intersection right there can get pretty hefty, or pretty bad traffic in the mornings. But it was, you know, I wish I could say, like Mr. Bennett, that I had given him some kind of word, spiritual word, but I didn't. That's, you know, if that happens again, then I definitely want to do that. But I think he was just, not to put myself on a pedestal at all, but I think he was just really, he seemed very gracious and or very happy and thankful that I was able to help him. So, you know, hopefully that made some kind of impression on him that way. So,
okay. Anyone else? Okay, over here.
Myself and a few other guys in the church here have a unique ministry through archery. Many of you know that I shoot the bow, and I do private lessons and group lessons, and I actually have a church over in Whitwell that I go over, and some kids come from over there, and we do a shoot over there. And some mothers have been saved through that ministry just because the kids coming to the church to shoot and them getting invited to church, and the Wompy is his name, or Norris is his real name, that works at the bow shop. He's a member of the church over there, and has told me that as they've invited these parents, two mothers have come to Christ through this ministry. Also, if you know anything about archery, what's unique about it is the first step to be a good archer is to have a firm foundation. Well, what an inroad to talk to these kids in private lessons about what they need to build their life upon. And then another step is, as you release, you want to watch your follow-through, that you don't drop your arm or move this arm, because the arrow, even though it's flying fast, can still be affected by the move of the bow. And there's an awesome opportunity to show how awesomely we are created, that our reflexes are faster than an arrow going 300 feet per second. And when I get a chance to share with these kids, who in public schools have been taught that they came out of a big bang, that we're created by an awesome God who put those reflexes in us, it's just great opportunities to speak to kids. So, and we've been to sportsmen's dinners and banquets and handed out a lot of Christian literature. So it's been amazing to see God work through it.
You know, the amazing, amazing thing is that some time ago, I went through and just found the passages on good works. And there's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 key passages on good works in the New Testament. I mean, this is not something that's marginal in theology. This is something it's a frontline kind of thing. It's part and parcel, you know, in our opportunity to present the gospel. So I've got to prepare. I've got to be intentional. Will you be intentional this week to see what kind of opportunities God might put into your path? What kind of things you know, you might be able to do? You just never ever know all that God is going to do, you know, for eternity. I've told you the story a couple of times, one about the secretary that one of the secretaries that the speech department had was a gal from Maryland, and she was completely unchurched, had no contact with anything. And this church operated a bus ministry, and they invited her to come, and she rode a bus and came to know the Lord, and ended up at Tennessee Temple. In fact, as taught there for several years and everything. It all started with somebody caring about the spiritual needs of their life. Grant was telling me this morning that he and his brothers would play out in the front yard on Sundays, and as all do kids do. And one weekend, a total stranger comes up to their house, sees his parents, and says, "Hey, I notice your boys are out here playing on Sunday. Would you be interested in letting me take them to church?" And your mom said, "Sure, they could go to church." And so their family, all these families, were reached because somebody didn't come up with some great program plan or anything like that, but simply did what they could do, spiritually in that situation. That is a tremendous thing. I told you about my dad eating in a Chinese restaurant in Indianapolis. And apparently he did this regularly, unbeknownst to me and my mom. And at any rate, he's eating in there one day, and there was a guy that had gone to Purdue University, could not work, as an engineer, was desperately needing a job. And at that time, my dad worked in a consulting firm where he desperately needed some help in the mechanical engineering area. And so, he saw this guy, and the guy says, "Well, I can't get the proper papers filed." And so dad took some interest in the guy and helped him file his papers, hired the guy. He came to work for them, and of course he and his wife were just very, very appreciative of what they did. And mom and dad had him out to eat. And you remember, my mom is just a class A cook, and fed him. And that guy came, and his wife came to know the Lord, and ended up moving out to San Francisco, and riding back several times, and every time remembering the gospel witness that had been brought to their life. Okay, remember the passage in Matthew 25? You got refugees, you've got homeless, you've got people with physical health type of needs, you got all different kinds of categories of people. Those are the inroads for the gospel. You know why we don't have as many people saved as we would like to see saved? Because we're not intentional enough in chasing after all of these opportunities. God help us to get a vision for these things. Well, I'm praying that you're going to have a great week, and that next week we're going to hear some stories about some opportunities that you've had for the gospel. Now, our Father, I thank you for what you have done for us. And I pray, Father, for all of us here, this entire congregation, Father, that spiritually, Father, we'll just be on track for you, and that you'll help us be sensitive to the people we're around, and, Father, that we'll investigate and we'll respond to that convicting voice of your Spirit in our life, Father, and that you'll use us to minister to people. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord bless you. Have a great evening.
Thank you for worshiping with us today. Grace Baptist Church exists to glorify God by knowing Him through His Word, loving Him through worship and obedience, and serving Him by caring for others. For more information about our ministries, please go to www.aboutgracebaptist.org. See you next time.